Hey, Packet Man.
Hey, Axor. What you got there?
I just saw you with my telescopic vision up on this building about 2 miles away. Thought I would bring you a little latte from Starbucks for a break.
Thanks, man. You know, with all those superpowers, you're still a cool guy.
What can I say? I just got back from taking care of old Blizzard. Him and that death ray again.
You'd think that he would try something else by now. Oh, and that police chief is a card. Do you know what he did?
Oh, yeah? What's that?
He found out it was my birthday last week and sent over this girl, you know, a stripper, to my hideout. She was covered from head to toe. Couldn't see her face or anything.
Say.
Wait, it gets better. She starts dancing around all exotic and stuff, then drops her clothes. I was like, hey, I can't see a dang thing.
Huh?
He sent the invisible woman.
Oh.
All this talking made my latte cold.
Let me see that for a minute. Here you go.
Ah. Much better.
Well, look, I gotta head out. I need to head back to Technorama City. There are a couple of boneheads there plotting to destroy the city.
All right, Axor.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that spins you around until you fall down. This is show number 8086 for yeah. February 23rd, 2006. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man who keeps changing the batteries on RoboChuck 2000 every 6 months, whether he needs it or not. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. How are you, Chuck?
The man of flubber.
Hey, what is that supposed to mean? Stick with us. We've got a whole lot lined up for this show. We've got more about weird buildings, an addendum to our Atonium. We've got good stuff to find in iTunes, a quick rundown of Mac browsers, some interesting new news from Intel. What song was popular on the day you were born? Listen and find out. And other things to rot your brain.
Mine's already started.
Let's get on with the rotting then. On this day in tech history for February 23rd, 2006. This is February 23rd. It's the 54th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 311 days remaining in 2006. Date in 1455, that is marked as the traditional date for the publication of the Gutenberg Bible, the first Western book printed from movable type. No, not the blogging software, you nincompoop. Also on this date, in 1874, Walter Winfield patents a game called Sverresteak, now more commonly called lawn tennis. I just thought it had a neat name. And on this date, in 1893, Rudolf Diesel receives a patent for, you guessed it, the diesel engine. And for $10 million, the United States gains control of the Panama Canal Zone on this date in 1904. The Silver Dart makes the first powered flight in Canada and the British Empire in 1909. And on this date in 1927, the Federal Radio Commission, later renamed the Federal Communications Commission, begins to regulate the use of radio frequencies. And we all have podcasts now. Well, most of us. Okay, some. But very few. It was on this date in 1940 the animated movie Pinocchio is released. And in 1941, plutonium was first produced and isolated by Dr. Glenn T. Seaborg. A supernova is seen on this date in 1987 in the Large Magellanic Cloud. It was aptly named Supernova 1987A. And on this date in 1997, a large fire occurs in the Russian space station Mir. Netscape Communications Corporation announces the foundation of Mozilla.org on this date in 1998 to coordinate the development of the open-source Mozilla web browser. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1928 to cosmonaut Vasily Lazarev. And Majel Barrett, the actress who played Nurse Chapel on Star Trek The Original Series, Lwaxana Troi, and the voice of the computer on Star Trek The Next Generation, and married Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, turns 74 today. And finally, happy birthday to Michael Dell, the man behind Dell Computers. He turns 41 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for February 23rd, 2006.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi, and this is Johnny B. with MostlyTrivial.com. Ain't he funny?
Hey, I wasn't on the script.
Ain't he funny?
Oh, boy.
Hey, you're not really that funny.
Welcome back to Technorama. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my cousin, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing there, Chuckles. How are you?
The mailboat's in. Mailboat's in.
Hark, is that Jimmy Buffett with the mailboat?
Yeah.
We got mail from Joni regarding our comment about Firefox being used with WebEx. She says, hey, Chuck, I'm listening to show number 85. Phil Clark asked about using WebEx with Firefox. I don't have any brilliant suggestions. However, recently, I had to use WebEx as a client so that a company could assist me in my attempts to figure out what was going wrong with their product. Firefox is my default browser, and the company's rep was able to use WebEx to troubleshoot on my laptop without any difficulty. So, maybe something other than WebEx and Firefox is to blame. That's not a bad suggestion. We should check and see if Phil has any plugins or extensions or things that might need disabling.
Hey, you know, it seems, I was trying to remember, especially last time, it seems like I've used WebEx with Firefox, even when the person said, be sure to open up your Internet Explorer. I was like, yeah, right, okay. And I opened it up, you know, and I think I was able to get in anyway. So it seems to me like it would work, but you never
Let's try a manly browser first.
Mosaic.
Oh, yeah. NCSA Mosaic.
I'm sorry, that's caveman technology there.
By the way, Mike Wills also said that he used Firefox 1501 with WebEx without a problem. So, yeah.
Hey, by the way, in my server stats, I did see a Mosaic show up. I don't know. It's only one.
Get out.
That's what it said.
What version?
One. That's what it said.
One?
That's what it said. One. Yeah, 1.0. Am I kidding?
Holy cow.
And somebody probably said, hey, let me see if this will run.
Oh, man.
But they came to my site.
What'd they do? Fire up their Windows for Workgroups machine?
Yeah, for groups. Ugh. I'm having a flashback. Wait a minute.
Yes.
On that note, more beer.
This next message is from Richard Green. He's the mainframe systems programmer. He said, the old PDP disks, he's referring to the ones he sees in the background on the webcam, reminded me of this story from a recent Z Journal, which is a mainframe trade magazine. He said, you can read it or just read war stories from an old code slinger. I did read it. This is a pretty good article. We'll have the link in the show notes. It's a PDF that we'll link to. It's called War Stories from an Old Code Slinger by Larry Ackers, and tells some old mainframe stories that you might find interesting. He's talking about like programming on the old IBM 370 when it had 64K of RAM and the OS took up about 20K of that. When you
go
wrote in
north.
A, when
hey,
you
go
wrote,
north,
yeah.
Go south, pick an open mailbox, take out
letter. Are you hunting the Wumpus? next one's from Kevin Devon. He writes in responding to our TiVo thing. He says, I picked up a Series 2 TiVo 3 years ago this coming April, and at the time I opted for the lifetime subscription, which, as you know, is only good for the life of the unit itself.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, I highly suggest picking up TiVo Hacks from O'Reilly. Good info, a little outdated, but still good stuff. I also looked at Leo Laporte's got a TiVo hacking book all about TiVo, not necessarily just hacking, but how to add hard drives and things.
Yeah. Is it updated, by the way?
No, because it's not. It's October 2004, and I sent Leo a message. I said, any plans to update this book? And he wrote back and said, eventually, the first one sold real well. The problem is you can't do a whole lot of hacks to the Series 2. So, yeah.
Well, that's all the more reason to do it and make a book about it.
Well, yeah, if anybody can hack. I mean, I've been hanging out on the TiVoCommunity.com forums, mm-hmm. and picking up some real good stuff in there. He does have a link to a nifty little utility called eTiVo. You can take the TiVo to-go files and convert them to MPEG-2. I've also found out a couple other links that I'll be trying out, some utilities that I'll be playing with after I subscribe and get TiVo to-go.
So I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this on Technorama, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll have recurring, latest
nightmares?
TiVo stuff.
Okay.
Latest nightmares. Actually, Phil Clark did send me a TiVo link to a guy who was trying to download his files and burn them to DVD. He said, after a 12-hour soap opera, he had been trying this and trying that and upgrading here and just having a real heck of a time getting these things burned to DVD. He still hadn't done it after 12 hours. Pretty scary stuff.
Yeah.
We have another email from Leo Schrawin. Yes, this is Yorga's dad, regarding the Atonium. Very interesting stuff here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It gets kind of long. If you want, the details are in the show notes. But he said, the Atonium is a copyrighted structure. You can't even put a picture on a website without incurring a fine. And the copyright stays in place for 70 years after the guy died.
What's the point?
I don't know. He said,
what's the point of doing that? That's stupid. And then nobody would go, you couldn't have a picture of it without paying, and then people can go, hey, I'd like to go see that someday.
There's a picture on Wikipedia. Who are you going to sue?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. You know what? Actually, on the Wikipedia entry, it did talk about that, and I forgot about that during the show. But, I mean, come on, that's the stupidest daggum thing I've ever heard.
It's the truth. Building. It's the truth. All right, a couple of voicemails. First one from Scott Reynolds.
Hey, Chuck, or Chuck and Craig, or something. I don't know if I've got the right line.
Something.
So, Chuck, if I'm calling your personal...
Nope, that's the right one.
Forgive me, please. You committed a major minor error
in
your little This Day in Tech History from a few days back, a week and a half or two back. You said daylight savings time started, and
make
it's not a
decision,
plural, it's a
singular. Man.
Shame on you, perpetuating a bad piece of information like that. Anyway, talk to you soon. Bye.
By the way, that was sent on the Gizmo line, and it's a little better than the K7.net audio quality, but not quite, recording it yourself or sending it on the Skype answering machine. We also have some great pat on the back from one of our loyal recent listeners. Goes by the name of Missing Intellect in the chat room.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Steve Rickyberg, a.k.a. Missing Intellect, from Santa Clarita, California. I just want to extend a very special thank you for putting out such a great and entertaining show. There are some really great podcasts out there for a geek like me, but none of them have the great personality and witty humor that yours does. I'm always looking forward to Sunday and Wednesday for a new edition of Technorama. I don't really have any sort of question or comment other than a special thank you, Chuck and Craig, for putting such a great show out. Keep up the great work.
I should have put some music behind that. It wasn't that really Chuck, had heart.
Are you sure he's not got the right show?
Yeah, here's your $5.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you sure he's got the right show? He said witty humor. I don't know.
When we find it, we'll let you know.
Meow, 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 meow.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I have no idea.
I'm doing good. I just took off the laser suit.
I'm not reading that.
Wait till April Fool's.
Tell me, Craig, what was it like?
Shazam.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, no to me, no to me. What was it like?
Did you ever have one, Chuck, setting registers to...
Take a listen if you're interested. Quality's excellent. Content is not too bad.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Forget you.
And speaking of the chat room, I want to give a shout out to shout out to everybody in the chat room. We've got
a shout at them.
KO, Alan, me, East Bay Ant, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, who's the man who gave us the accolades.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you. When we find that random humor, we'll let you know. We've got Norbert, the RoboChuck 2000, is always there to serve and obey.
He's serving right now.
Runtime error, Scott R., who's the one who called us out on the daylight savings time.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got to interrupt you for a second.
Yes.
I was just looking at what people are getting out of the RoboChuck, or what RoboChuck's getting out of their fridge for them.
What's the latest?
Well, here's a couple. RoboChuck retrieves a mystery meat from the refrigerator. There you go.
That's what
it's
that is.
Better,
there.
Though. There's a blank something in there. It says RoboChuck retrieves a. From the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's because somebody keeps putting an empty carton back in there. They'll take it and they go, this is empty, and they put it back.
Okay, I need to edit his code. He goes, retrieves an ice water. That's a good one. Retrieves a rabid dog. And this one just laughed at. Retrieves a wish sandwich. What the hell's that?
A wish sandwich. That's from the Blues Brothers. Rubber Biscuit song. You know, a wish sandwich is where you had two pieces of bread and you wish you had some meat to put between them.
You're right.
Bow, bow, bow. We got Shortman, Scafey, Craig is in there, but he's away. Tim Elliott and Zaha Doom. Boy, this is starting to sound like a regular roll call every week.
Retrieves a donut.
Donut.
From the future.
Hey, I got to tell you, my face is red. The winner of the iTrip Auto, BJ Kiefer, or Kiefer, I'm sorry. It is a she, not a he.
Would you rather me do this, Kate?
No. It's a she, not a he. Our female demographics have now been corrected. We're up to, what, there's three?
Three.
Joni, K.O., and BJ.
So between them and our male listeners, there's like eight.
It's not that bad. They're all in the chat room.
Oh, at least 14.
You think you're using multiple clients.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a link real quick on more weird buildings. We mentioned the atomium, whatever we're saying.
Atomium. The atom building.
I've got a link.
We can't talk about it, otherwise they'll sue us.
No, it's just pictures. Well, speaking of pictures, there's some pictures to some other weird houses. There's one called the Dancing House, which looks like it was literally twisted as it went up. The robot building, which would make fine album art for any Technorama episode.
Or that's where we're going to, when we win the lottery, that's where we're going to put our studio.
That'd be cool. There's the Ripley's building, which looks like it's ripped down the middle.
I've seen that one. That one's cool.
Yep. Wilson Hall, which looks more like an Atari logo.
I was thinking more like
Fermilab.
Hilton or something.
Or, yeah, it almost does look like the contemporary at Disney.
Here's my favorite one, the 135 degree angle house.
This thing's funny.
It's like a normal square house, you know, with a straight roof with one chimney, but it's sitting on one side of the roof. It's turned up with the bottom facing up. It's
good luck getting to the front door. Yeah. There are some others in there that really make you wonder how they built these. But we'll leave the rest of them to you.
Here's the kicker. We don't want this technology to be available to every hobbyist. That's enough. That's quite enough, Otto. Oh, he's messed with it. He must be the expert. So show us your editor.
Marty, we need to go back in time. 1.21 gigawatts.
Hey, I smell another intro, but here's the quote that really got me. Lipsum Aporum or whatever that is. 1.5.0.1. I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I can't work like this. I'm out of here.
Now we're in trouble.
What kind of garbage is that?
It's the regular garbage we always have.
Take out the trash there, Chuck. All right, everyone, let's get smart. for a change. I just wanted to point out that there's a lot of major schools are starting a podcast now. You know, it started off with Harvard with Malin. What's the guy's name?
Yeah, the computer science.
My mind's going blank. I just had it anyway. Anyway, he was on Victor's show for a couple times.
Yep.
Anyway, it started off with his podcast doing the computer science class. Now we've got Stanford doing their podcast. However, Stanford's a little funny. They have a whole iTunes part of the store. You can't get to it just by going to the music store. You have to go to their website, click on the link. It takes you to it. It's supposed to be kind of separate. However, what they've got is some lectures, some stuff. They said it's mostly for alumni. However, if you're a student, you can go in and subscribe to podcasts that, you know, that you're allowed to have.
Okay.
However, Berkeley is doing a lot of podcasts now, and I went and they got like a whole page full of a ton of classes, and they even had, you could pull down the list and change the class schedule to spring of 2006, and so you can kind of start keeping up with them as you go, which I thought was pretty cool. And MIT has a whole list of podcasts too.
Oh my goodness.
So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. And then following that up, we have Strong Bad.
How does that get?
Well, actually, it kind of screwed up. It wasn't supposed to be there in the notes, but I just thought I'd throw it in there. But anyway, I thought Strong Bad was cool because I seen the podcast show up a few weeks ago, but I just now saw it in iTunes. So.
I subscribed to that.
Hey, come on, Chuck, do it.
I'm checking out my email.
We like Strong Bad. Lisa and I just watched the Virus one tonight on the iPod video.
You know what? That's what we need for our mail thing.
Checking up the email.
Might get in trouble if I steal too many of his, but they're great.
Yeah.
And rounding out our computer science courses?
Yeah, that was the Harvard one.
Oh,
the
okay.
Computer science-y one. That's the Harvard one that kind of got stuck there.
We'll try to fix that up in the show notes.
Yes, and his name is David Malin.
That's it. Hey, I saw a review of some Mac browsers for all you Mac heads out there. They took a look at Camino, Firefox, Safari, and
Flock,
all the latest versions of those.
And Flock, he was on Star Trek Enterprise, wasn't
he? Yes, he was. He was a doctor. All of them have tab browser. All of them have RSS support. However, Safari rated the best on RSS support, and they also rated startup time, easiest blogging support, best customization, and CPU weight. And the one with the best startup time was actually Safari with 2.66 seconds. I think Firefox came in last with 7 or 8 seconds. I'll put a link in there. Again, you can see all the details yourself. Easiest blogging software easiest blogging support went to Safari. Suspicious, I think so. However, Firefox...
How do they judge that?
I honestly don't know how that one was judged. I wonder if they tied it in with a .Mac account or something. Firefox obviously won out with best customization factor with all the plugins and extensions and things. However, this one surprised me. The best CPU weight, the one that was easiest on the machine, was Camino. Interesting.
Camino is with the native OS X, the Cocoa interface, but I think it uses the Gecko engine just like Firefox.
You think so?
I know it is. That's Camino. Right off Mozilla's site, there's Camino.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. But you know what? A lot of people have talked lately about how heavy Firefox gets when, you know, the memory leak that they've got. And then there was a story about one of the developers said, well, it's not really a problem. It's more of a feature because it tries to anticipate some of the links and keep so many back cached so you can.
Well, that was a nice idea in 1999.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's more of back cache. So, like, if you've been to a page, you can click back real easily and it goes bam, bam, bam. You know, there's a setting you can turn it off, and I've noticed that it helps some, but it didn't really help a whole lot. So I just left it like it was.
I was going to ask you if you had made that tweak, but it doesn't help a whole lot.
It did a little bit. Sometimes some things were faster. Some things, you know, were the same. So I didn't really see much advantage to it. But, I mean, you can find the maybe I'll try and find it and stick it in the show notes. But you can turn it off, and it doesn't cache anything.
Also on the news and technology front, we don't usually do a whole lot of major news stories, but this one caught my eye. Researchers at IBM have discovered a way of getting more out of the current method used to make computer chips. They've been able to etch circuits down to 29.9 nanometers wide. This is about a third the size of existing chips, so they'll be able to make denser, faster chips, getting more out of the current technology before they have to go to more expensive methods that we've been hearing so much about, vaporware things. But they'll be able to get more out of the silicon wafers. And full details, again, are in the show notes. I know we're kind of zipping along through some of these, but hey, if you're interested in that kind of thing, yes, sir.
Apple was unavailable for comment on that last one.
Which one? The IBM thing?
Yeah. They're squeezing out more out of their chips, and Apple's nowhere to
be. I think I said at the top of the show that it was Intel. This is IBM. They have some very impressive research and development stuff going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
IBM is very innovative.
Oh man, I've talked to people that have worked for IBM in the past, and I'm not talking about like a service guy. Some guys that worked in the fab or worked at a manufacturing plant, and he's like, some of the things that he's seen. I mean, now it's old hat or old news, but some of the things at that time that he said, he goes, you wouldn't believe it.
They can get 1.44 meg on a floppy disk now.
Yeah. No way. I don't have to flip them over anymore to do that.
But don't call them hard drives.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Harold, are you podcasting again? I think you've done enough on that microphone today. Look at you. You're drunk.
Leave me alone, woman. I'm podcasting. I got 4 more shows to do.
4 more? You've done 15 already this week. That's it. You've got a problem. You need help.
I don't need help. I don't need anybody's help.
Do you know someone like this? Do you or your spouse have a podcast where the beer flows as freely as the conversation? Then you could be one of the growing number of podcast alcoholics. That's why the Podcast Widows Organization has started APA. Alcoholic Podcasters Anonymous is an organization dedicated to help not only those who make the podcast, but those who listen as well. Alcoholic Podcasts Anonymous is a self-funded organization committed to educating those who produce and listen to drinking podcasts. You too could suffer from this growing disease and not even know it. If you're not sure, then take the APA test. Listen to the Dragon Page Winging It podcast. If you find that you have an uncontrollable urge to start a podcast where drinking is an integral part of the show, you may be at risk. If you find you cannot listen to Winging It unless you drink along with Michael and Evo, you may need help. If you find that you cannot get enough Michael and Evo each week and often send emails asking for the shows to be released early just so you can play the drinking game, then you could have a serious problem and should contact the APA immediately. Remember, drinking and podcasting do not mix.
Go get me some more beer, woman!
This has been a public service announcement from your friends at the Dragon Page.
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hey, thanks to Mark in Memphis, who also sent along a link to some gamer/hacker stickers. Did you get a chance to look at these, Craig?
I've been to the site before. Jinx, looking at some of their t-shirts. So, yes, they got some good stuff up here. I like the hacking permit. I did that.
There's a fragging permit sticker. There's a, live in your world, but get pawned in mine. Your skill in reading has increased by 1 point. Jesus saves and only takes half damage. There's one with all kinds of different dice. Yeah.
Not even Norton can protect you.
Pirates are way cooler than ninjas. I like the one that just says, "I eat noobs." There's a whole bunch of them out there.
You know what? I'm so getting one of these little hacking permits. It looks like a little yellow parking sticker or something you get on your car. There's some good ones in there. I like that. My other favorite one is I steal music off the internet.
We get no money off of that endorsement. It's just a fun thing to play.
I hack. Ban me.
We also got a link. I forgot who sent this. The myths about the ENIAC have been revealed. You know, you always hear the rumors of when they turn this thing on, the lights in the city dimmed. Busted. So this is from ENIAC co-inventor. Who is it? What's the name? Computer World has a lovely interview with J. Presper Eckert, co-inventor of the ENIAC, which, if I remember right, stood for Electronic Numerical Instructional. Someone's going to have to fix me on this.
Something other.
And something computer. I can't remember. I used to know. It's one of those things. I think I used to have one sometime.
You used to have one.
Another ENIAC miss. What's the zaniest thing you did while developing the ENIAC? The mouse cage was pretty funny. We knew mice would eat the insulation off the wires, so we got samples of all the wires that were available and put them in the cage with a bunch of mice to see which insulation they did not like. We only used the wire that passed the mouse test. He never thought
little
of that.
Did he know, little did he know, computers would be controlled by mice later. Hey, here you go. Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer.
Oh, that's it.
You were close.
Did you Wikipedia me?
No, I knew that. I read this earlier, man.
I heard mouse clicks while you were there.
Excuse me for touching my mouse.
Keep your hands off the mouse and come out with your hands up.
Hello, computer. Hello, computer.
All right. What did you find about the day you were born?
Well, you know, today over on Dig, somebody posted a site of what music, you know, was hot on the day you were born. And I just thought it would be kind of cool if everybody that listens to the show would actually go check it out. What was, you know, what song was on the top of the charts when they were born?
Yep.
And go on the wiki and stick it in there.
And what did you find out about Dig demographics based on the comment feedback?
Well, you know, actually I had suspicions, but now I have concrete evidence that everybody was born in 1980 something.
Between about 83 and 89 is when all these kids were
reading it,
born.
And the guy said, "Hey, yeah, my song was Jump from Van Halen." I was like, "Oh gosh."
One guy said, "You're making me feel old." He had a Beatles song or something.
Yeah. Mine was I heard it through the grapevine.
Let me see. What do I get? Stop in the Name of Love by the Supremes. There. Everybody can just give their maybe that's another wiki thing we ought to do, Craig.
That's just what I just said. Yeah, I want everybody to go.
I'm sorry,
look
I was
it up.
Researching. I was clicking to find my birthday.
You never listen. I want you to go
what?
In. Huh?
I need new headphones.
The song that was up top of the charts when Chuck was born was something from Glenn Miller. Anyway. So, yes, go look it up and stick it in the wiki.
Also found another thing about life inside the Googleplex, which is where the Google people work.
Yes, it's totally cool.
Dude, I don't know how they get anything done looking at these pictures.
I know. I'd be too busy playing pool, riding around on scooters.
Getting a massage, walking your dog, swimming in the... I want to know how much that lifeguard makes. There's a guy sitting by the... He didn't even look like he was paying attention.
No. Well... Look how big the pool is. It's like one of the swimming place pools. You don't need a stupid lifeguard. He's just sitting there.
You can stand up. I don't know what the problem is.
Hey, dude, stand up. Oh, okay.
Thanks for saving my life.
You know what I thought was really cool is the board in the background where the two guys are drinking coffee.
Yeah.
They have a board, I think, near their coffee area or somewhere. And people just write crap on there. You know, it's like a thought board or something. And one of them was, the earth needs racing stripes to make it go faster. one of them said, here you go, something about a moon hole prevents lunar catastrophe pending project approval.
Got to get the approval. File the paperwork. It's got to be ISO compliant. All right. Yeah. Take a listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Princesses only want Jedi who have skills. You know, lightsaber skills, force skills, mind trick skills.
How was Tashi Station?
Worst day of my life, what do you think? Idiot! It's a speeder bike. Dang! It's got an intake, flaps, fins. You ever take it off any sweet jumps? Let me try real quick.
Alright, what was wrong with that dialogue?
Gosh.
That's from a clip that Craig found called Napoleon Skywalker, in case you couldn't guess. It was a Napoleon Dynamite parody of Star Wars, and pretty...
You freaking idiot. Gosh.
Pretty dang funny. I like... He's wearing a shirt that says, Vote for Lando. And Han Solo has a mustache, because he's supposed to be Kip.
Yeah.
It was funny. You will
laugh. I think my favorite line was something about... says, I could destroy the Jedi in like 2 seconds. Gosh.
Don't be silly, Napoleon. Nobody can destroy a Death Star that quickly. And he's trying to feed a Tauntaun. And he goes, eat your food. Gosh.
Why are you sweating so bad? And then he starts chugging the blue milk. Anyway.
My favorite was, how was Tashi Station? Tashi Station. Worst day of my life. And they show Boba Fett beating the crap out of him. Yeah. All right, we won't wreck the rest of it for you. We only left about two scenes untouched.
Spoiler alert.
Let's move on to something a little more productive. We've got the final prize in our Griffin giveaway. This is an iPod Nano. Only works if you have an iPod Nano. It's black, and it doesn't matter if you have a white Nano or a black Nano. It'll still fit. And if you want to enter for this one, just like the other, send me an email to chuckchatplusnano, N-A-N-O, at gmail.com. The funny thing was, it's sitting in front of the webcam, and Mark Shepard launched an email at me. He sends it to chuckchat
launched.
Plus iPod. I go, close, but not quite. The contest wasn't even announced yet. We haven't even recorded the bloody show, and he's trying out things.
He's doing a dictionary hack on your Gmail.
ChuckChatPlusNano at gmail.com. You will be entered automatically to... Hey,
good thing you didn't put ChuckChatPlus*@gmail.com.
These guys, I don't know.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Geek Thoughts.
On the keyboard of life, always keep one finger on the escape button.
Ready to get your geek on? Easy, check out Technorama.
But you better check it out quick, because we're heading out of here for this show.
Hey, you know, you said that Mark had sent you an email real quick trying to guess what it was?
Yes.
Pretty soon it's going to be Chuck Chat Plus and some kind of regex pattern. I something or other to try and figure out what it is.
Isn't that what you called the last show? Regex?
Traffic regex patterns.
That's what it was.
Yes.
All right. Give them the clues.
Okay. The clues?
Colonel Mustard in the study with a candlestick.
No, it was a rope.
Anyway. Sorry. I never liked that game.
I never played that game, really. Movie was good.
Clueless!
Yep, I agree. Anyway, here's how to contact us. It's your turn to let us know what you think about us or whatever we said, or correct us.
Whatever we said, we have to play it back. We don't know what we said.
Yeah, we'll figure it out tomorrow when we listen to the show. You can call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. And send audio comments if you send it by email to chuckchat@gmail.com, or you can hit the Skype account at chuckchat. And you can email me at craig at chuckchat.com. Hey, Chuck, what's that over there? Don't forget to go check out valetsyntax.com. And go to the website and for the forum, swags, and webcam and all that good stuff. This show,
Craig,
a proud member of Friends
Craig,
and Tech.
Look, it's Leo Laporte.
Oh, what?
And watch the listen to the Gmail podcast.
He wasn't over there. All right. So we're a proud member of Friends in Tech. So we like, so we lead them to believe.
Thank you for listening to the show. As always, we sign off with a binary high five. But wait! Look, it's Patrick Norton, too! There's also Freestyle.
Man, you're making this up. I didn't see him. All right.
Are we ready? Binary high five.
101.
Thanks for listening. Hope you had as much giddiness as we did. Bye now.